Construction license, GPA spending example.
All right, I'm going to kick things off here for Paul, but I just wanted to kind of give a brief introduction as to how this conversation came about. Obviously, at our last meeting, we had a lot of good discussion about, you know, the Bighorn Sheep auction license and those funds that were going to be generated from those auction proceeds. Actually, we're going to be discussing when and where and, you know, the details of that in the very near future. We're looking at opening on that online auction here very shortly, having that that auction date end sometime in September, so that's exciting. And one of the things with it, though, are going to come hopefully some additional funds that we can spend on Bighorn Sheep research, additional funds we can spend on GPA management. That was one of the things the commission talked about last meeting. And then the other additional funds would go to the Second Century Habitat Fund Board and go to the, towards the Working Lands Program or other habitat programs within that fund board. So I had staff throw together a presentation based on our GPA assessment. We talk a lot about the assessment, the evaluation of all 723 GPAs, about 290,000 acres. And what I asked staff to do is, if you were given, in this case, oh, we use a hypothetical example that the auction license sells for, let's say, $500,000. I hope it does. There are some big rams out there. And let's say it sells for $500,000, $85,000 goes to sheep research, $207,500 goes to the Second Century Habitat Fund Board, and then the other $207,500 would go towards GPAs. How would the department plan to spend those dollars on GPAs, on what specific projects, and also where? The big question is, where would they spend those dollars? So we went back and looked at the GPA assessment. That was a perfect foundation as to how and where we'd spend those dollars. And that's what I asked Paul to do here today. He'll cover those things for the commission. And then we're going to talk towards the end about some pretty neat and really great opportunities to really focus on some additional public land opportunities if more money were available. And hopefully have a great discussion on that. But with that, I'm going to turn over to Paul Coughlin, and he'll jump right into it here.
Thank you, Kevin. Paul Coughlin, Wildlife Program Administrator for the Wildlife Division within Game, Fish, and Parks. And as Kevin mentioned, we put together a list of we'll just call it project ideas from the assessment. And I think before we get into the details of those specific projects, we'll just offer, if I can get this to move. Thanks for the help. Just a brief background on game production areas in general across the state. We have a few commissioners here who are relatively new that maybe haven't seen some of the numbers about what we have for game production areas across the state. Right now, between game production areas and water access areas that are managed by the Wildlife Division for wildlife habitat and public hunting, and lake access, we have about 285,000 acres statewide, and that's made up in 719 different units. Of those 285,000 acres, about half are made up of grasslands of some sort. These are either native grasslands or planted grasslands that we put back to nesting cover. About a third of our areas are wetland. This is a year where that number has probably ratcheted up a little bit, percentage-wise. Agricultural land, about 10%. These are the sort of acres that are put into food plots annually or part of a, perhaps like a DNC and food plot rotation throughout the years. And then, of course, about 10% in some sort of woody cover, again, either natural woodlands or acres that we have planted through to some sort of woody habitat. Annually, we spend about $4 million a year operating and maintaining these game production areas throughout the state. We also pay taxes on these game production areas. So if you throw in another $1.5 million worth of property taxes that we pay and you do the math, it comes out to about $19 an acre is what operation and management cost is for those 285,000 acres. And finally, each game production area unit that we have out there is managed by our regional habitat staff. And our regional habitat staff take a lot of time to develop specific management plans for each one of those game production areas. And we have a system, it's known as WILMA, which is an acronym for Wildlife Inventory and Land Management Application. And basically what it is a GIS-based database that we utilize for short-term and long-term management planning on each one of those game production area units. So as Kevin mentioned, when given the opportunity to, you know, say there here's an amount of money, what would you do with this on game production areas? We went back to the habitat evaluation or the GPA habitat needs evaluation we did back a year and a half ago, where our regional staff went through a process of ranking and evaluating each one of their game production areas and figuring out what is it we would do on those game production areas to improve public access opportunities and public hunting opportunities and increase wildlife habitat on our GPAs. Kind of move them from, you know, where they are now, maybe they would rank them as a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10. Well, what would it take to move the habitat and public use on that game production area up to a 9? Okay, so they identified a lot of these different habitat and public use projects that they would like to get done. And through that process, they identified about $19 million worth of needs. And this comes in the form of not only just dollars to spend on the ground, but also when you add in additional FTE or additional people to do the work, and of course equipment. You know, to do the work we need the equipment and we need the people, and so it all adds up to about $19 million worth of needs. So the opportunities to utilize sheep license funds, we threw this out to our staff and said, well, look, what we're looking for is if we were to get approximately $200,000 plus or minus to put into habitat projects on game production areas, what would we do? Well, the first thing we would do before we even spend a dime would be to match it, and that is to utilize that PR money, that federal aid that we get, match that $200,000 3 to 1, and so instantly turn it into, you know, $800,000 to $1 million, depending on, again, on what that number is. So then we went back, and our staff went back to those habitat projects on those evaluation lists. And what I asked them to do is I said, look, what we want are, give us some high impact habitat improvement projects. You know, we had a lot of other type of projects identified through that evaluation, you know, improvements to roads and trails, maybe additional fencing, maybe some water development for livestock grazing and that sort of thing. But I said, what we want to see right now is some high impact habitat type developments and something using that management plan that you've developed, something that you can put on the ground in the next 18 to 24 months, because we want to make an impact and we want it to be visible and we want it to make a difference. And so what they came up with is this category of or these 5 categories of habitat type projects, and they include high diversity native grass seeding. Native grass seeding, I don't want to call it low diversity, but it's the diversity of these other type of grass seedings are much lower than what we typically refer to as a high diversity planting. With, you know, those high diversity plantings might have 2 or 3 dozen different species of grass and forbs in them, whereas a regular native grass seeding might have 5 to 7 different species. They came up with a number of pollinator plots. That's a real big popular thing on our GPAs. They, you know, not only just the benefits to pollinators, but brood habitat is just incredible when you get these high diversity pollinator plots and something that's going to flower, you know, throughout the entire growing season. Tree and shrub plantings, we had a couple additional woody cover developments on some game production areas that they pulled off their list and said these are things we can get done. Things like tree and shrub plantings, you know, as you can imagine, those take a little bit of time to plan. You know, you've got to take the existing ground and you've got to prepare it and you've got to, you know, plan for that tree planting, and then there's some maintenance afterwards. So we had enough acres and kind of in the queue right now that we'd be able to kind of expedite those plantings given the extra money. And then finally, we had a cedar control project that down in Gregory County on one of our game production areas. And folks who have been down there and seen that part of the world understand that, you know, cedar have become a little bit of a problem on those breaks along the Missouri River. And so this was, again, a high-impact type project that would really result in some habitat improvements to the grasslands down on those game production areas. So all said and done, you know, we asked them give us 800 to a million. They overshot because the list is long. Again, 70 different GPAs that they identified something that they could get done in the next 18 to 24 months. 106 different sites impacting a little over 5,200 acres. And again, things come with a price tag, and in this case, you know, $1.2 million. Now, of course, this list is one that, you know, these are things that they would like to get done. And, you know, despite whether there would be additional money made available for this, these projects are also the sort of thing that even if this money isn't available, there's a fair number of these that we would probably add to the list for 2020 already. You know, so some of these plantings that maybe wouldn't be funded by the sheep license money, we could get them back on the line and hopefully get them done utilizing existing funds. So here's that map that was referred to earlier about the Second Century initiative and the eligible counties in green and the non-eligible counties in yellow. And as Tom mentioned, this is a bit of a work in progress. I think he's communicating with some folks in the governor's office about some potential changes there. But what we were asked is, you know, here's the map, the eligible, non-eligible, and then how does that play into what would happen with these game production area projects? Where do those occur in relation to this effort? And so here's what we came up with. Again, it's heavily weighted East River for a lot of these projects. And I think one of the things to really, and it's important to keep in mind with this, is that, you know, we're limiting ourselves to game production areas. And outside of the Black Hills, we really don't have a big game production area footprint in western South Dakota. If you look at where our game production areas are, you know, we're very heavily populated in eastern South Dakota. So just by virtue of the numbers, we get a lot more projects that have shown up there. Any questions on that map at this point? So Kevin also mentioned other opportunities on public land that have to do with, you know, lands open for public hunting, and what could we do for other opportunities across the state and in perhaps in particular West River to utilize some additional funds for habitat improvement projects. And so what I did is I just grabbed a snapshot of other public lands across the state of South Dakota. With the exception of U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service properties, I just purposely left those off because the vast majority, if not nearly all of them, are located East River, and the Fish and Wildlife Service is actively managing those properties, we just didn't feel that was a really great opportunity for us to spend state money on the federal lands. But we have opportunity on other state lands, in this case, school and public lands, where, you know, there's over 610,000 acres West River and 146,000 East River. This is the sort of thing that we could sit down with the commissioner and Commissioner Bruner and figure out, you know, what are some opportunities to do habitat improvements on SPL lands. And I think there's, as anybody who's familiar with those knows, there's certainly opportunity to improve habitat on SPL ground. It's just a matter of how we would go about doing it.
Could you give us some examples on, I mean, what could be done or what would be on the list of possible actions?
Certainly. You know, in fact, one of the experiences we do have working with school and public lands is that we have a couple of tracts in Lyman, Stanley County, where a number of years ago our department entered into an agreement with SPL whereby we actually did some woody cover plantings on the SPL ground, and then annually go in and put a food plot in on those SPL properties. And so that's a that's an example of where we could you know, given some select SPL grounds where there's an opportunity, we could actually go in and do a habitat development, and perhaps something that we wouldn't have to go back to and do a lot of maintenance on, but it would be something to have an impact. Of course, the other one, when you get certain parts of the state are riparian areas. There's always opportunity to improve riparian areas. You know, one of the other very important individuals at the table, of course, in those sort of discussions would be that that leaseholder on the SPL land. You know, they have a grazing lease on those in most cases, and if there's going to be some habitat improvements that affect how and where and why they use that property, you know, they certainly would need to be part of that discussion. One of the other things that as an agency we've done in the past is we have worked with those leaseholders and actually done some small impoundment work where we've created, built new small impoundments for grazing water and wildlife water, or repaired some old blown out ones. You know, we've done that through our private lands program where we've, you know, fixed some small dams and those sort of things. So there's a lot of opportunities, you know, ahead of us. And again, it would take some discussions with the commissioner and those leaseholders, but I think there are opportunities there. One of the other, not necessarily public properties, but one of the other opportunities that exist West River, well, statewide for that matter, are walk-in areas. You know, these are private lands that we as an agency lease the hunting rights on. And there's over 1 million acres located West River and 378,000 East River. Currently, through our Wildlife Partners program, we do offer an extra incentive, for example, for someone who is doing a food plot through our food plot initiatives. We offer them a higher incentive payment for that food plot acres. It is exciting. but we do offer through our private lands program additional incentives for example, food plots on walk-in areas, for lands enrolled in walk-in areas. And so there's opportunity to also do other additional incentives through our private lands program for those folks who are involved in the walk-in program. You know, one example might be we have a nesting cover program that we have, and that might be the sort of thing that we offer just an additional incentive for somebody who wants to be involved in that program. And if they're enrolled in the walk-in area program, we can maybe provide them with a better cost share rate on that program. Another opportunity, again, a piece of public land similar to SPL land, our U.S. Forest Service National Grasslands and BLM properties. Again, there's 859,000 acres of national grasslands in western South Dakota. That number doesn't include, you know, 53,000 acres that exist in the Custer National Forest, Slim Buttes, that area. But there's also, you know, over 250,000 acres of BLM property across South Dakota. Principally western South Dakota again. And again, these, you know, there's certainly opportunities to work with those federal agencies on habitat improvement projects. You know, I think one of the things that we've done in the past through our wildlife management plans that have been developed and adopted by the commission is a lot of times some of those strategies include, you know, outreach with and working with other agencies, other federal agencies, to improve habitat on those lands. And so it would meld real well with our wildlife management plans that we have, deer plan, pronghorn plan, those sort of things. But again, there's opportunities there. Again, a lot of those properties are under lease for grazing to private individuals. And of course, it's the federal government, so things don't quite move as rapidly with federal agencies as perhaps we would like to see at times when it comes to implementing sort of things that are maybe not included in their overall management plans. So opportunities and, of course, you know, challenges, but we can work through those too. So with that, any questions?
Commissioner Beese.
Commissioner Beese, in our last meeting, though, we made the vote to tie this specifically to GPAs. So if we're going to be able to consider any of these other public lands for consideration, we'd have to reverse that decision, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we'd have to modify that. That's true. We would. And so I hope we have some discussion about that today. And I mean, I originally had planned to go back to the yellow and the green map, but I think it's, I mean, I think that's become clear, right? So that the green and the yellow, even the one before that, but it's the same map, so you don't need to go back there. But I mean, the genesis for that was the announcement from the department after our meeting last time of what was eligible for Habitat Fund Working Lands Program, right? And that's where this map came from, right?
Mr. Chairman, if I will.
Yes.
Yes, that is correct. However, there are conversations occurring, you know, in the last couple days regarding the expansion of this program to occur more West River as well. So those conversations are happening, those discussions are happening to potentially include potentially all of West River. That's up to the fund board. And we haven't had those conversations with the board yet, but we plan to have those conversations with the board.
Right, and one of the reasons that it seemed like we should have a map like this is because I know there was discussion amongst the commissioners that, you know, this isn't an East-West River sort of operation or commission, but I mean, there was concern that we should spend some money, you know, on both sides of the state. And at least the way that habitat plan is currently, those are the eligible ones in the green. And so then when you imposed on that, if you will, the GPAs, the next slide, and then that just, that reflected that the GPAs were in the east too. And so that's why we get to where we're at, and there isn't much of this auction money, if you will, currently slated for west of the river. True. I mean, that's kind of what brings us here.
Yeah, I mean, if when we task staff to look at the high priority areas on those game production areas, I mean, these are the areas they identified. It's not to say that we could spend more money West River. I mean, that is a possibility. There's that definite possibility, and if that was the direction by the commission, is to, you know, kind of equally distribute those dollars east to west, we could do that. I mean, we could find projects to do that. Looking at, though, the highest of priority areas, these would be it. One thing, too, we need to consider is we potentially have some other funding resources that we're going to talk about here hopefully very soon, the Hunt for Habitat money. We could use that, all of potentially West River, on some school and public lands or some BLM lands or wherever the commission would like to identify those funds. So there are some additional opportunities, you know, out there. I think that school and public land is a pretty neat opportunity, really, because it is public property. And there hasn't been a lot of wildlife developments per se on those properties in the past. So I know the School and Public Lands Commissioner is excited about that. We've talked to Commissioner Bruner briefly about the concept. He's very open to the idea. So, you know, with that, though, I mean, if there was a direction from the commission to distribute the Bighorn Sheep auction license funds equally across east to west, we could do that on GPAs. We could, absolutely.
Commissioner Phillips.
Thank you. Commissioner Phillips here. If we decide to extend it to school and public lands, when would we do that? Is this the appropriate time?
I think we could
John, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we can revise what was done last time to, it wasn't a rule that's been approved, it has to be approved by the any other committee. I mean, we can revise or modify our prior decision, I think, today.
Mr. Chair, yes, that would be correct. It would just be revisiting an issue that you guys have already considered and took action on, and that you would just, based on further information that was provided today, might make some alternative recommendations to the decision you guys had previously made.
Mr. Chairman?
Commissioner Phillips.
The information that we've been given here points to the school and public lands as being a really good place for some of this. I think the discussion needs to be, do we limit it to school and public lands, or all state-owned lands, or all public lands? I mean, it depends on what the commission wishes are, I think. All state-owned lands would be another option.
Through the chair, Commissioner Phillips, absolutely, we could, you obviously could go that direction. The one thing I would raise caution on is we don't have any specific projects identified at this time on school and public lands. It's a new concept per se. It would take some time to work through some of those lease agreements, you know, those allotment holders, making sure that we could obviously move forward with that effort and that opportunity. We would need to start the process now, and then I would say maybe 2 years down the road, actually have some boots on the ground, making sure those projects are being conducted and implemented. So that's the only limitation we're up against right now, is we don't have any projects identified on those school and public land properties. The concept's there. I think it's a great concept, and I think in the future we should definitely work with the School and Public Lands Commissioner and those permittees to look for opportunity areas. But that would be my only sense of caution or hesitation to really go back and say X, Y, or Z pertaining to the exact dollar amount going some different direction. That's my only thought there.
So then maybe we should talk about this too. I mean, related to this is the match. And so in your proposal here, you take the assumed 200,000 and match it 3-1 with Pittman Robertson. And that would, we could do that whether it's east, west, GPA, or public land. I mean, the match would still exist, true?
Yes, the match would still exist, yes.
And then there has been discussion too about the half of this money that we said we would send to the Habitat Fund, if that's an assumed 200, that too would be able to be matched by Pittman Robertson, so that 200 would become 800?
No, that is incorrect. So that match would, or that money would stay with the fund, that 200 or whatever it might be, would stay with the fund. Now, they are going to go out and try to match it, but not with Pittman Robertson dollars. That would be matched with private donations or other grant opportunities. NACA grant opportunities or something like that. Those are monies specifically tied to the Working Lands Program, and they have all the intent to get private donations to match those Second Century Habitat funds.
Yeah, I'm not, Secretary, well, that's a question. So I don't know if we have a definitive answer at the moment. Maybe we should work on that, but I thought we did, but maybe we don't. So let's set that aside. We'll come back to it after a break. Commissioner Olson. Oh, sorry. Good time to have the public hearing. It's past 2 o'clock. We'll take